Returning to the words of the psalmist, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." In the name of the living and true God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. A few days ago, I was taking down the Christmas tree in my parents' home, visiting them in Arizona. And I was listening to a record, actually, that they had given me as a Christmas gift. The name of the record was Love and Revelation by a husband and wife group known as Over the Rhine. They're from Ohio. And I was thinking about and praying for Ben and Kim and Harper. And during this quiet meditation, a line from one of the songs that was playing just leaped out of the music and into my mind. And the line was, "Grief is love without a place to go." I've not heard that definition of grief before, love without a place to go, but it resonated deeply. When we lose someone that we love, it feels, in a way, as if that love that emanates from our hearts now it doesn't have anywhere to land. So with the object of our love now gone, it is as if that love is almost stunned or paralyzed, bereft of its beloved, its true home, its purpose. Lost, that love almost seems to turn in on itself, and its colors change from bright love and joy to muted frustration and confusion, and even the darkness of anger and sadness. Love without a place to go can almost devolve into an entire kaleidoscope of emotional pain. And this we call grief. I think it's a good line. Grief is love without a place to go. I think that there is truth to it. But for the Christian, I think that, that there is more that we can and should say. And actually, Kim alludes to this deeper truth in her beautiful tribute to Ben, which is in your bulletin, which you have not read, I would commend to you, which she has titled The Invisible String. The invisible string, she writes, is the connection between two people. It is, in a word, love. And that string, that connection of love, even stretches to heaven, she writes. Yes, this image reveals an essential truth that when we die, we do not altogether vanish from existence. There are some who believe this. That's fine. But this is not the Christian belief. The Christian belief is that it is only the body that dies. The soul does not die. Death is the unnatural and the unwelcome separation of the body and the soul. In death, it is the body that returns to the dust from whence it came, dust to dust, ashes to ashes. But the soul, separated from the body, departs into paradise, where it rests in the nearer presence of God in the spiritual realms. This is why there's that ancient prayer that I'm sure you've heard said that the souls of the faithful departed would rest in peace. Now, if this is true, and as a Christian, I choose to believe that it is, even though we may be physically parted from a loved one by death, their soul is every bit alive in the risen Christ. We may still grieve our loved one's physical absence, but our love is not left without a place to go. We can still love Ben. We do still love Ben, because though his body has died, his soul is alive and at rest in the arms of the living God. Yes, the invisible string stretches even to heaven. But there is more. There is so much more. At the very heart of the Christian hope, the Christian joy, the Christian life is the belief in the resurrection of the dead. And the resurrection of the dead is a belief that refers very specifically to the body. The soul doesn't need to be raised from the dead because the soul doesn't die. It is the body that dies, and it is the body that is raised from the dead. The resurrection of the dead does not just refer to Jesus. His bodily resurrection on the third day that we celebrate at Easter, we refer to it as the first fruits of the resurrection of the dead, meaning there will be more fruit. His resurrection is our assurance that in fact the dead will be raised. I realize that this may sound absolutely crazy. What can I say? I'm not making this up. The resurrection of the dead is the very heart of the Christian faith. St. Paul so provocatively writes, "If Christ has not been raised, scrap it. Our whole faith is in vain." These days, funerals and memorial services are often referred to as celebrations of life, by which is meant a celebration of the life of the person who has died, which of course they are. We are gathered together today to remember and to celebrate Ben and his life and the great gift that he was to all of us. We are also gathered together today to celebrate the eternal life that has been won for us and promised to us through our risen Lord. Our life on this earth is literally, as the psalmist describes it, a journey through the valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes those words are so familiar to us, their power is lost on us. But in fact, it's a description of the world we live in. Death looms. It is a looming reality of life, and it casts a long, dark shadow. We live every day in the shadow of death. It is ever present to our senses. We don't always think of it this way. In fact, we're often quite good at distracting ourselves from the reality of our mortality. But in the end, death cannot and will not be ignored, especially at times such as this. So when Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life," he is speaking to our predicament, those of us walking through the valley of the shadow of death. This is not a statement of arrogance or exclusivity, as is often misunderstood, but it is merely a matter-of-fact description of this pathway that he forges for us, his beloved sons and daughters. By his resurrection from the dead, he has blasted an escape route through this valley of the shadow of death, into the joy of eternal life in perfect union with the living God. When Jesus says, "Follow me," he's not saying it like for his own self-worth or vested interest. To the contrary, he's saying it like a first responder, like an EMT, like a rescue worker who's rappelling down into the valley of the shadow of death to lead us safely through it. "Follow me this way, out of the valley and into the light of day, into the light of life, which knows no death." And it is in this sense that the risen Christ truly and uniquely gives meaning and purpose and hope and salvation to us weary travelers who are left to carry on our journey through this valley of the shadow of death. It is true that we genuinely have nothing to fear in the valley because God is with us. He has come among us in the person of his Son, our Lord, the Good Shepherd, to lead us back to safety and back to life. In Christ, we have hope in the midst of adversity, hope in the midst of temptation, hope in the midst of sickness and suffering, hope in the midst of grief, hope even in the very face of death itself. So we, you and I, are left to carry on our journey through this valley of the shadow of death, even as Ben's has ended. His soul is now at rest in the paradise of God, and his body will rise again. Because Christ was raised from the dead, he too will be raised at the last day. The season ahead will be hard, but my prayer is that our grief and sadness would be tempered with this Christian hope and joy, that because our Lord was raised from the dead, one day in Christ we too shall be raised with Ben unto everlasting life. Today then is not goodbye. Today is farewell, brother. Rest in peace. And until we meet again in glory, and because the invisible string stretches even into the heavens, we pray for him. May the Lord bless him and keep him. May the Lord make his face to shine upon him and be gracious to him. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon him and grant him the fullness of his peace. Amen.